Well, thank you, Mrs. Troyer, for that beautiful special music. Adds so much to the service when we can have special music like that on God's Sabbath day. Well, good afternoon, everyone, to all of you, and also a warm welcome to those with us today on the webcast. Good to have you with us this warm July Sabbath. Well, as a backdrop for our topic for today, we're going to look at a brief overview of one of the most well-known stories in all of the Bible. It is a story that even our younger children are most likely familiar with. It is a story that probably brings us all kinds of mental pictures as we recall the events that took place, the main character who received instructions from God after he was 500 years old, the long period of time that the project took, the 8 people who survived the ordeal, and the spectacular sign from God that we can still see at times in the sky, even to this very day. Now, the details of these events are found in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. The people on the earth had become evil and corrupt, and the earth was filled with violence. Conditions on the earth had gotten so bad, God was grieved in his heart, so much so that he was sorry that he had created mankind. One man was chosen by God to stand in the gap, so to speak, and stood between the survival of the human race and the end of all living and breathing things on earth. No pressure at all on that one man to completely and totally follow God's instructions. Or God told Noah, "The end of all flesh has come. I will destroy them with the earth." Let's begin by reading a few verses from Genesis chapter 6 and get some background for our topic for today. Genesis chapter 6, of course, it's the story of Noah. And we'll read a couple of verses here in Genesis chapter 6 to begin, verses 5, 6, and 7. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.'" And now skip down, if you would, to verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." The world had become so evil, so corrupt and violent, God had had enough, and he was grieved in his heart. The world we live in today, so evil and corrupt and violent, how long is it until God intervenes again? Can we rightly assume that he is grieved in his heart once again? As he looks down on the conditions of humanity on the earth today, and he sees the evil and the corruption and the violence. Christ said in Matthew 24 and verse 37, "But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, we are blessed in God's church to understand the amazing plan of God, what it means for all mankind, and the glorious return of Christ to this earth in great power and glory to establish God's kingdom here on earth for the rest of eternity. We pray, "Thy kingdom come." And in the months ahead, we'll be hearing much more about the last 4 holy days in God's plan and the events they picture in the future. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 6 and pick up where we left off in the story of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, this time we'll read verses 8 and 9. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is the genealogy of Noah. "Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." Now the word grace here, "Noah found grace in the eyes of God," means special favor or exception. God chose Noah because of the way of life that he lived. And in verse 9, we read that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah was a man who was known for his faithful obedience to God's law. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. He may have been known for telling others about God's way. Perfect in his generations, Noah was not like all his contemporaries around him. He stood out. He was noticeably different. When we follow God's way of life, we also stand out at times, and we are noticeably different. And Noah walked with God. He lived day to day by following God's way of life. So God chose Noah to ensure that the human race would survive what God had in store for planet Earth. That is when Noah received a most remarkable set of instructions from God. Let's see what God told Noah next in Genesis chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. Genesis 6 and verse 13. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing the flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life, and everything that is on the earth shall die." In verse 18, "But I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you." Now, to give us some perspective on the timing of these events in Noah's life, this is all happening after he had turned 500 years old. God gave Noah the instructions that he needed and told him to build a massive ship. The scriptures don't tell us, but you wonder if Noah felt overwhelmed at times with the very enormity of the project. Now, the ark was built to these dimensions, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, a cubit is the distance between an adult's elbow and the tip of your fingers, and that is generally considered that span to be about 18 inches. So if we use that ratio, one cubit to 18 inches, the vessel God told Noah to build would have been 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. A football field, of course, is 300 feet long, so the ark in length was 1.5 football fields. This was a massive construction project, and it took Noah many, many years to complete, although the scriptures don't tell us exactly how long it took him to build the ark. That is virtually impossible for us to imagine, given the average number of years people live today, to work on the same project for decades. But most of us have probably had various projects around our houses that we take on that have taken us months or maybe even years to complete. If you're like me, when a project drags on for a long time, you just get so tired of working on the same project. You really want it to be finished, but the longer it goes, sometimes the harder it is to muster up the motivation to get it done. You're just so tired of working on that same project. Then think about working on the same home improvement project maybe for 10 years. And then imagine working on that same project for 6, 7, or 8 times that long. But that is what Noah did. He followed God's instructions, and he stayed focused on and he stayed committed to completing the massive project that God had given him to do. Week after week, month after month, year after year, he worked at building the ark. It's hard to imagine, if you think about it, what emotions Noah may have felt the day he walked home from work and put his ark-building tools away for the last time. The project God had given him specific instructions to build was at long last finished. Then Noah and his wife, their three sons, and their wives loaded all the animals God told them to into the ark. God shut and sealed the door of the ark, and after 7 days, the rains and the floodwaters came and covered the whole earth. Next, let's look at some words that would describe Noah and some character traits that he would have had that allowed God to use him for such an enormous and critically important task. We already read a few verses, a few of them in Genesis chapter 6. We read in verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of God, meaning special favor or exception. And in verse 9, we read he was a just man, perfect in his generations. He walked with God. He was known for his obedience to God's laws. He stood out among those around him. He followed God's way of life on a regular basis. We also mentioned 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He told others about God's laws. He talked about God's way of life. How about faith? Did Noah have to have a large measure of faith to trust God fully and keep working on the same project for maybe 7 or more decades? Even after Noah and his family were loaded into the ark and God had shut the door, it was 7 days until the rain started. He had to have faith that the rains would come. He had to have faith that the rains would stop. He had to have faith that all the water would go away. He had to have a great deal of faith in so many things that were not known to him, things that were unseen. Let's turn back now to Hebrews chapter 11. Can't hardly talk about faith without going to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll just pick up one verse here in verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah had to have great faith in God to follow his instructions to build such a huge boat, and according to many Bible commentaries, most likely he built it nowhere near an ocean. Maybe 15 to 20 years into the project, when the shape of a giant boat became visible, those around the area may have laughed at him. They probably thought he was crazy. But Noah had great faith. He kept his focus and he stayed the course, and he followed God. We know the definition of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We read in verse 7, Noah, being divinely warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. That took a great amount of faith, which certainly Noah had. I don't know about you, but I know I have a long, long way to go to achieve the level of faith and trust in God that Noah had. He left us an outstanding example of faith that we can learn from. Another word that describes Noah, a character trait that Noah had, was perseverance. Perseverance is defined as steady persistence in a course of action. Steady persistence in a course of action. Noah had steady persistence in building the ark and in following God. Many of us in this room have been following God's way of life for 20, 30, 40 years or longer. That is a steady persistence in a course of action. One of the traits of God's people is that they persevere. The Apostle Paul mentioned perseverance in his letter to the Ephesians when he instructed them to put on the whole armor of God. And in Ephesians chapter 6, after Paul gives the components that make up the whole armor of God, he said this in verse 18. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read that together in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. We should be ever mindful as we see the day approaching to continue to watch with all perseverance. Noah set a great example for us of perseverance to follow God's call all the way to the end. We too must continue to persevere no matter what obstacles Satan may throw at us, directly or indirectly. The race God has called us to run is a marathon, and it will take perseverance like Noah had to finish our race. Now, another character trait that Noah had, another word that would be used to describe him, is obedience. Noah obeyed God. We read earlier in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, Noah walked with God. He was obedient to God's way of life. Amos 3 and verse 3, you don't need to turn there, but Amos 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Noah followed God, and he didn't agree with how those around him were living. And of course, God didn't either. So much so that he was grieved in his heart, and he wanted to destroy all mankind. God told Noah to build a gigantic boat in his backyard, so to speak, and Noah obeyed. His neighbors most likely ridiculed and made fun of him, perhaps even talked about him behind his back. But Noah obeyed God. God gave him a project that may have taken him decades to complete, but Noah stayed focused. He obeyed God. The same goes today for those God has called. We too must obey God. Now more than ever, with the rapid decline we see in our country and around the world, we must obey God. We must stay close to Him. Our freedom to worship God as He commands us to do is being challenged and may be changing, yet we, like Noah, must remain obedient to God. God expects obedience from those He has called, regardless of what is going on in Satan's world around us. Satan is the master of distractions, and distractions at times can cloud our focus on the straight and narrow path he's called us to walk. Noah is a great example of obeying God, and Christ set the standard for our obedience. Let's see that in Philippians chapter 2. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin reading here in verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ never sinned. He was obedient to God right to the end of his physical life here on earth. Our obedience to God and to his way may soon be challenged like never before. We can learn from the obedience of Noah, and we should continue to pray earnestly that we will remain faithful and obedient to God right to the very end. Another word that would be used to describe Noah, a character trait that was found in Noah, is patience. Patience. To work for that many years on the same project is almost impossible for us to imagine. Noah must have had a great measure of patience to continue on through every obstacle that he may have faced. Today, we may become impatient when our computer screen takes 5 seconds to change instead of 2. We may get impatient at the drive-thru when it takes longer than a couple of minutes to receive our order. Sometimes our patience may be tested when we take 4 weeks to complete a project that we thought would take us only 2 weeks. It is so easy to become impatient, isn't it? We've probably heard the saying, have the patience of Job. I believe we could also say that we should have the patience of Noah. Now, we're not told if Noah ever became impatient during the time he was building the ark, but we can learn a great lesson in being patient from the story of Noah. The Bible was written for our learning, preserved through the ages, so that we can grow and develop in the character of God. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Pick up just one verse here, verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. There are many, many scriptures in the Bible, of course, that speak of hope and the hope that lies within us. There are many verses that can comfort us in difficult trials, and there are many examples for us to learn patience from. Noah set an example for us of having great patience, and it has been written and preserved so that we can learn. Now, although there are more words that would describe Noah, more character traits that we can learn from, the one we'll focus on for the remainder of the time is diligence. Now, diligence is defined as constant and earnest effort, persistent exertion of body and mind to accomplish a goal. Diligence is constant and earnest effort, persistent exertion of body and mind to accomplish a goal. Noah certainly was diligent. He had to have constant and earnest effort to be physically and mentally persistent to accomplish the goal that God had set before him. When we read through the story of Noah building the ark, we cannot overlook how diligent he had to be to do what God had commanded him to do in what could have been very difficult and at times very challenging circumstances. You can't help but wonder how many setbacks Noah may have faced along the way, but he had the diligence that it took, and he overcame them all. For the next few minutes, let's look at some areas that God wants us to be diligent in. Turn, if you would, back to Hebrews chapter 11. We read Hebrews 11 and verse 7 earlier, where Noah is mentioned here in the faith chapter. But now we find our first area to be diligent in here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is a lot for us to consider here in just this one verse. We see that we must have and we must continue to grow in faith, or we cannot please God. We must believe in God, and we see that he will reward those who diligently seek him. God rewarded Noah, and he will reward us if we diligently seek him. We need to seek direction from God on a personal level in our own spiritual life, and we need to seek direction from God collectively as a church, as the body of Christ. Mr. Franks has encouraged and instructed us to do just that regarding the many ongoing decisions that the administration is faced with making during this pandemic. I'd like to read the last paragraph of his member letter from July 9th as he encouraged the collective body of Christ to diligently seek God. Mr. Franks wrote, "Over the next month or so, I'm encouraging all of us to seek God's direction by fasting and praying. Our relationship with God is of vital importance. In every trial, we must rely on that relationship and not lean on our own understanding. We must continually strengthen that relationship by seeking God's will in our lives and his guidance in our decision making. We must ask each day, what does God want us to do? If we base our decisions on the facts as we know them and seek direction from God through fasting and prayer, I am convinced that while it won't be easy, we will be just fine." End quote. When we are diligently seeking God, it helps our faith and our trust in God to grow. It's a natural process. The more we seek God and his will, the less that we'll lean on our own understanding. And as Mr. Frank said, the better off we'll be. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. Mr. Frank's mentioned this in his letter, but we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and read the scriptures that he alluded to, verses 5 through 8. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." God will guide us. He will direct our paths if we diligently seek him. Proverbs 8 and verse 17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." Let's conclude this point by asking ourselves a question using some of the words from the definition of diligence. Do I constantly, earnestly, and persistently seek God and seek God's direction in my life? God wants his people to diligently seek him. Now let's look at another area God wants us to be diligent in. It is after God has given Moses the Ten Commandments and he has given Moses some additional instructions for the children of Israel. We'll break into the story back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll begin reading here in verse 5. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God's desire is for our children to be rooted and grounded in his way of life. We can do that by what our children observe us doing, as well as by talking to them and teaching them regularly about God and about his way at every opportunity. It certainly requires hard work, and it's not easy, but it is something that God expects us to be diligent in doing. He said in verse 7, teach them diligently to your children, which means teach them constantly, earnestly, and persistently. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says it very well and very succinctly and should be encouraging to all of our parents. Let's read that in Proverbs chapter 22. A memory scripture most likely for us, but let's read Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training requires action, and it requires us to be disciplined to follow through consistently to accomplish that goal. Olympic athletes must train for countless hours to make it to the Olympics, and they must be disciplined to train consistently. Marathon runners may train for months before running a marathon race, and they need the discipline to stick with it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 said, train up a child in the way he should go. Teaching and instilling God's way in our children requires action, and it requires the discipline to be consistent, sometimes even when it's not convenient. God wants us to teach his way diligently to our children. Now let's look at another area God tells us to be diligent in, and it's also found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll read just one verse, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. Now we all know God's commandments found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And we know that we are to keep those commandments. But here God's instructions are to diligently keep those commandments. That means we work at it daily to keep all Ten Commandments constantly, earnestly, and persistently. Verse 18 and 19 go on to tell us that God will bless us if we diligently keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 18 says, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. Some of the blessings of following God's way, it will be well with us. God will bless us physically, and he will fight our battles for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God gave the children of Israel a list of blessings for diligently obeying his commandments and for following his way. The principle applies to us individually today as well, as the promise of blessings for obedience to God has never changed. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. The next 12 verses go on to list many blessings that God promises for keeping his commandments and for following his way. They are blessings God gives to people and to nations when they turn to him and diligently keep his laws and walk in his ways. And Christ broke it down to a simple formula for us to follow when he answered a lawyer who was testing him back in Matthew chapter 22. Let's read that account in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, and we'll begin here in verse 34. Matthew 22 and verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." For us to diligently keep God's commandments, we must love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and we must show outgoing concern to everyone to love our neighbor as ourselves. Christ gave us a simple formula that is easy to remember. The challenge comes in the daily application of that simple formula. It takes hard work, it takes focus, and God's Spirit at work in us to diligently keep all of God's commandments all of the time, like the example that Christ set for us. And by definition, diligence is constant and earnest effort, persistent exertion of body and mind to accomplish a goal. Let's end this point by asking ourselves a question. Do I diligently strive to keep all of God's commandments all the time? Now, the story of Noah, like so many of the stories in the Bible that have been preserved through the ages for our learning, is fascinating to study into, and it's filled with lessons that we can learn from which apply to the turbulent, violent, and immoral world we live in today. We read earlier in Matthew chapter 24, the time of Christ's return to earth will be when society has deteriorated as in the days of Noah. The character traits of Noah that we reviewed today that we can learn from were during the time frame while he built the ark and mankind continued the downward spiral toward the death of all humans on earth except the 8 people that God spared in the ark. God hasn't chosen any of us to build an ark like he chose Noah, but he has called us and he has chosen us to live by and to follow his way of life so we can be a part of his family when Christ returns to establish God's kingdom here on earth. That is an awesome blessing from God, and it comes with great responsibility. Noah followed God's instructions and completed the task that God gave him to do. Although there are other character traits that we can learn from Noah, the 5 we reviewed today were faith, perseverance, obedience, patience, and diligence. Brethren, let's remember the example of Noah completing the task that God had given him to do as we continue to follow God's instructions to us so we, like Noah, can complete the task that God has called us to do.